I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, WHO Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it.
Welcome to WHO Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Kendall Jenner talking about the struggles of nepotism.
I went to every single casting and ran all over not only New York City, but all over Europe trying to, you know, get a job and make my way. Of course, I had a platform and I never took that for granted. I always knew that that was there, but that almost made my job a little bit harder. Only because people, you know, probably didn't want to hire me because I was on a reality TV show.
She actually wouldn't allow us as a family to go to any of the fashion shows.
Why?
And sit front row because she didn't want to be distracted.
Or a film.
Yeah.
I took my last name off of my name on like all my modeling cards so that I was taken completely seriously. I mean, I literally like went to like the middle of nowhere castings. Like I definitely worked my way to where I am now. I think it's just a perception that people have.
I think maybe at some point in time, fashion designers wouldn't want to hire a reality star and say like, oh, you're a joke and we want like serious models. But that is not this time. We do not live in that time. In this time, the more visible you are, the more eyes you can get on the clothes, the more attention you can get is all that matters. Like, yeah. Even the like most fashion-y of fashion designers knows like, oh, merchandising is actually very important. And like to have Kendall Jenner model in your show so that more people will maybe see what she's wearing. Come on. Like, it's you really think we're fools, you know? These people really think we're fools. I mean, maybe we are fools for watching their show for 45 seasons, but.
Kendall, I have seen your AD tour. I have seen that oval light. You would not have gotten that oval light if your last name weren't Jenner. You wouldn't have
that oval light.
That oval light. You need to be a nepotism beneficiary to get that oval light.
What's that artist called? Yeah, that light by James Turrell.
James Turrell.
Yeah. Not that James.
James.
Not the producer from the Wendy Williams show. Yeah, it's that special, that reunion. I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the press that came out of that specifically, and it wasn't anything really good or revealing. Or, you know, like what's crazy is like now Khloé's breaking up with Tristan again, apparently, because but that wasn't really in
because he cheated
that,
again. No, because it happened just now. There was that quote from Khloé where she was like, I don't have a grudge. I forgive Jordan. And it's like, what about Tristan?
Well, looking back, I'm like, how mad? I mean, I don't know if she cares because whatever, but how mad would you be as Kylie if your sister's gross fiance or gross boyfriend fucked up your friendship, essentially, your closest friendship, so that you had to, like, disown your friend to, like, stay honorable to your sister. And now it comes out that, like, Jordan really wasn't the problem ever, right?
No.
Like, maybe there was a miscommunication, but Jordan really wasn't the problem. Jordan was maybe actually a good friend to Kylie. And now you've essentially burned that bridge and it's too late to even go back.
Khloe Kardashian is treating this like it's a Dolly Parton Jolene situation, but actually what this is a Cam Diane situation.
Okay, you're gonna have to explicate this. I use it again, that word. I love it. You're gonna have to explicate this reference for our listeners.
In Dolly Parton's Jolene, Jolene is the, you know, I'm air quoting, is the homewrecker here, right?
I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Dolly is with this unnamed female protagonist, has a male lover, whatever. Jolene rips this guy right out from under Dolly or whoever she's standing in for. And she's furious with Jolene, right? She's like, she's begging this woman, don't take my man. But in Cam's Diane, she sort of twists the narrative. And she's talking about, like, you know what? She is the Jolene type person. And she's like, I didn't know that it was like this. This guy sucks. And it's more about, like, let's come together and discuss how it's the man's fault.
Right.
And I think it's more of a Cam Diane than it is a Dolly Jolene.
I think people are familiar with Jolene, but not as familiar with Diane.
Well, that's understandable. That's completely fair if you're not familiar with Cam's 20
and this is
masterpiece
not, and
Diane.
What it really should be is a Goodbye Earl, but don't get me started.
Okay.
Right?
You are listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's get started with comments.
We have so many.
So many. I might cut some, but...
Okay.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I was just listening to Friday's episode, and I had to pause after you guys talked about Miss Mojo to talk about a really delightful video I watched recently. It was a press junket interview with Tom Holland and, I don't know, one of his Marvel co-stars. And it was for a Miss Mojo video. And when they found out that it was Miss Mojo, they were freaking out. And the interviewer was actually the woman who does the voice. And she did the voice for them. And they freaked out. And it is... extremely delightful. Highly recommend you watch. Crunch, crunch.
And here's the video that the caller was talking about.
I love Watch Mojo.
No.
I'm always watching the top 10 things. Always.
Welcome to Watch Mojo.
Yeah.
That's me.
Hey. Oh, no way.
Oh, no
you
way.
You narrated? Oh, my God.
Can you do the intro for us?
Right now.
Oh, really?
Please.
I've never done this in person. Welcome to Watch Mojo.
No way.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is so ridiculous.
I love your show.
Of all the Tom Holland that I've ingested, that was my favorite of all time when he said, I love watching the top 10 things.
It was better than his Umbrella performance, for sure.
Which is saying something because that was the other greatest thing I've ever seen him do.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. You guys are talking about the TikTok voice, and I have to tell you that the original TikTok voice, the reason that it changed is because TikTok didn't actually have that woman's permission, and she sued them because she was hired to just record a bunch of phrases for a company and didn't know what they would ever be used for. At least that's what allegedly. And then the news came out about the lawsuit, and like the next day, TikTok had a new robot voice. So that's the deal there. Beam Grease, bye.
What happened? So-
This woman's name is Bev Standing, and she's Canadian. She's from some town in Ontario. She's a voice actor, and she recorded all these things for...
probably some technology company, and she
you know
didn't
what
know
it
what
was.
It was for. What?
It was for a gig she did for the Institute of Acoustics, a research organization of the Chinese government. And she says the job, I'm quoting CBC in Canada, the job was reading thousands of English sentences she says she was told would be used for translation. Standing believes these recordings came into TikTok's possession and were used
obsessed
to generate the text-to-speech narration. Okay,
sure.
Do you want to hear her talk?
Yeah.
Listen to her.
Does she sound like the voice?
Yeah. Yes.
When you sign up at Joss & Main, you'll find furniture and decor for every design, style, and lifestyle.
So that's her voiceover work. This is what she sounds like just speaking.
Anywhere you hear a voice and don't see a face, it's kind of what I do.
So she says that she didn't, obviously she's not on TikTok, but people were like, I think this is your voice being used on TikTok.
How text messages go with my younger brother. Yo, sis. Yo, bro.
Everyone started sending me these videos going, this is you, this is you. And that's how I found out.
You know how Bex is the voice of, or was the voice of Metamucil? It reminds me of like one time I was just watching television. There was a Metamucil commercial and I was like, I think that's Bex telling me to buy Metamucil. And I texted her. I was like, hey, quick question. Are you Metamucil? And she was like, yes, I'm Metamucil.
Quick question. Are you Metamucil?
Feel less hungry with the natural fiber and clinically proven meta appetite control from Metamucil.
You'd be a great voice actor. I've said this to you.
I know. And I did an audition where I guess like my voice is on record somewhere as like a, like in a file, if like somebody was looking for a voice, but they,
it's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's in some archive. They always
ask if you can sing, and then they like make you sing. I mean, not make you, but they like, they're like, oh, do you, off the chance, do you sing? And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, you want to just like hear, like, you know, you don't have to be good at it, but just like sing. And I was like, what? I didn't know this was part of the test. And then I had to like karaoke a song.
Which
for
song
them.
Did you do again?
I did Bonnie Raitt, Something to Talk About. Because it was the first thing that came to my head that I'd done. Yeah, I did half of it. And then I was so embarrassed because, like, the rest I'd prepared for, but the singing, I didn't know that was something that was going to come up.
When you sang, did they laugh just a little too loud? Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. When you were discussing Nick Cannon's new twins, you completely left out that not only is one of them named Zion, but one of them is named Zion Mixolydian. Mixolydian is a musical mode, which is one of the hooier musical modes, I feel like. I feel like Dorian is a them. That's all I have to say. Okay. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
People were like, I don't think Nick Cannon knew this. And I'm like, of course he did. He didn't name his kid an obscure musical thing without knowing that. And also, he's a musical guy.
He's a musician. He's a million things.
Nick Cannon is a quadruple threat. And the fourth is having children. Singing, dancing, acting, hosting, having children.
It's a talent. Next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, medium time, medium time. I don't, medium time, long time. Anyway, I am poetry adjacent, and okay, so when you guys were talking about Terrence Hayes dating Padma, I remember hearing about how the woman that Terrence Hayes left Yona Harvey for is Rachel Eliza Griffiths, who is now dating Salman Rushdie, who is Padma's ex, right? So that means Padma and Salman Rushdie switched boyfriend and girlfriend, right? What's going on there? Can you look into this for me? Thank you.
That's a lot.
I mean, I guess there aren't many poets in the world, so they've all dated each other.
It is true that Padma and Terrence are dating. It is true that Terrence was married to Yona. Mm-hmm. It is true that Salman Rushdie is dating this woman named Rachel Eliza Griffiths, who's also a poet. The yes. one thing that is not really confirmable by me, or not necessarily with like a cursory internet search, that he initially left Yona for Rachel Griffiths.
I couldn't find it either.
That too is not quite in the initial Google search.
But I can find a connection between the two of them because there is some event listing from a few years ago and it has a photo of Terrence, and the photo credit is a Rachel Eliza Griffiths.
But like, clearly they went to events anything. Together because they're both poets. So it's hard
no,
to
no,
say.
No. Like Rachel took the photo of Terrence. She took his headshot.
Oh, so that they're friends and the photo came from somewhere else where she was with him and took his photo.
I mean, what I'm saying is the fact that she took his headshot means that at the very least, they know each other. They're friendly.
So this seems like something that was maybe rumored.
Exactly. Also, I looked at the caller, said they were, quote, poetry adjacent. It sounds like an identity.
When you're poetry adjacent, yeah. What does that mean? Like you read poetry or you like work adjacent to poetry?
Maybe you studied poetry and it's what you do on the side for fun. And so you follow the culture, you follow the community, but you don't right. make a living off of it.
Is there a shade room for poets? Is there a, oh no, they didn't for poetry? Is there a de moi for poems?
Yeah, it's called the stanza space.
Stop.
It's called the verse hearse.
Stop.
So we're going to end this with a, I'm just going to be upfront with you, a long montage of all, I tried to get as many of the Amazon Prime calls as I could get to make a montage containing a little bit of everyone who called in so graciously and told us what Amazon purchases make you feel the proudest.
This is our pride parade.
Mm-hmm.
Parade.
And it
calls.
Wouldn't be a 2021 celebration of pride if this montage didn't lead into an ad break. So that's probably what's going to happen. And then we'll move on to questions.
Perfect.
During the month of June, I love to show off my pride by buying things on Amazon, specifically Papermate gel pens, 10-pack.
Two sandalwood hair combs.
A Tramontina professional fry pan.
The CeraVe night moisturizer.
One rhinestone encrusted replica Jennifer from the Block Lopez Starbucks tumbler.
The Song of Achilles.
Song of Achilles paperback. Tub shroom.
It's an unstuffed poof cover I got off of Amazon.
An adorable little farmhouse dining table with benches.
Deciding between the Teva flip-flops that were brown with orange straps or black with multicolored straps.
The 100 pack of earplugs that I will be wearing to all of the gay raves.
Stairs for my dog to climb up into my bed with me.
Hardy bow, sour steady.
A new replacement blade for my head shaver.
A 3-month supply of men's Rogaine 5%.
A stud finder wall sensing scanner.
Buying Miracle-Gro indoor plant food is bisexual culture.
My automatic cat water fountain.
Cat food.
A product to clean up cat stains from the carpet. Fancy tuna fish to give the cats as a treat.
4 yards of a denim fabric. It's like a nice, like classic denim, like dark denim, but not like dark denim. And it is covered in cats, just little prints of cats all over it. And I'm gonna make a pair of shorts out of it, maybe like a matching shirt. I don't know. If you have any ideas, let me know. If you want any cat apparel, cat denim apparel, let me know. But yeah.
My cat was wearing the veterinary plastic cone. He had some problems that he couldn't chew on anymore, and I bought him a soft donut collar that is fish printed.
Natural cotton muslin fabric.
When I bought some glue for doing gold leaf on wood.
Blue Buffalo Life Protection Formula Natural Adult Dried Dog Food Chicken and Brown Rice, 15 pounds.
I get my acid reflux medicine and antihistamines delivered each month.
Psyllium husk powder.
My psyllium husk. My 3-month auto-renew subscription of Pure for Men.
I have one thing and one thing only, and that is going to be Lara bars, because all gays have IBS and dairy intolerance issues. And they are dairy-free and yummy.
Untamed by Glennon Doyle.
Grocery cart that, you know, has the basket and you, like, wheel it along.
The pour-over coffee maker I bought to make, specifically to make cold brew.
Oat milk on auto ship.
Silicone, like, surgery tape for my top surgery.
Cow print phone case.
Listerine.
Also a wrist guard because I'm getting old. I think that's pretty gay.
I have a rescue dog and I bought a training book for him to teach him how to consent to nail trims.
The Shrek soundtrack on Amazon Music because it's the only streaming platform that has the full soundtrack.
Queer book from a queer therapist called Transforming the Living Legacy of Trauma.
A workbook.
A 12-pack of boho headbands.
A rainbow inflatable kiddie pool.
An insulated cooler that keeps things cold for 4 to 5 days. This weird
Carhartt crossbody bag to use as a purse, Starkist chunk light tuna in water, pack of 12.
A twin door draft stopper, weather stripping, noise blocker, window breeze blocker, adjustable door sweep threshold, 34 inch, parentheses tree, because it has little tiny trees over it.
Tub shroom.
I bought a Bluetooth shower speaker. Listening to Chromatica in the shower is definitely gay culture.
One 24 by 36 inspirational poster in scratch off rainbow Raydon typeface, which reads, "So pick me, choose me, love me, hashtag pride."
A Dickies like short sleeve coverall jumpsuit. I am not a mechanic, but I do choose to dress like one.
And a knee brace. I have work and I needed a knee brace, and so I bought a new knee brace.
What I get the most pride from Amazon is saying that I don't use Amazon, you know, corporate bullshit, no Jeff Bezos. But then if I really, really need something, I log on to my mom's account.
The thing about Amazon that brings me the most pride is not shopping at fucking Amazon. Come on, the queers know we do not support Jeff Bezos. The straightest thing you can do is shop on Amazon. You know who loves Amazon? My straight sister and her straight husband. We're not shopping on Amazon. Crunch, crunch that picture of Jeff Bezos eating an iguana.
Lindsay, what Quince did you get when we got some Quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365 day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah. You're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Normally. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who.
Hi. Hi, Who Weekly. First time, long time. I was just reading the news and two things jumped out to me. One is that Ewan McGregor's daughter exists, and two, her face had been recently mauled by a dog, but that didn't stop her from making a red carpet premiere. So I just feel like there's a lot to unpack here, and I feel like I need answers. So thank you. Crunch, crunch. Good form, done with one. Bye-bye.
Here's the thing about Ewan McGregor's daughter, Clara. I think she might be an icon, legend, and the moment for showing up to a movie premiere with a mauled face. Like, we're talking fresh wounds, scabbed, bloody, looks like they're still dripping. This woman, she's 25 years old. I've never seen this before.
I mean, this is so rare that I would ever say this, and this might be canon for her, and if so, like, I'm loving it. Does this negate her nepotism? Because this is hard work. Kendall Jenner running around Europe trying to model and calling it, oh, it was difficult, oh, I know I had a platform. That's bullshit, right? Ewan McGregor's daughter being like, I am fucking stomping the step and repeat. I am looking into the lens of every single camera on the step and repeat with a bloodied face from a dog attack.
That happened like an hour before this.
No, it did not.
She got attacked by a dog, went to the emergency room.
No, she did not.
Then she went to the red carpet.
I'm going to say it.
What are you going to say?
We are going to have to stand. We are going to have to stand, Ewan McGregor's daughter. The funniest thing is on Instagram, she wrote, quote, when a dog bite lands you in the ER 30 minutes before the red carpet. And then it's like the sweat face, like the smile with the like bead of sweat. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The Mob Museum. By the way, this was held at the Mob Museum, which is the museum they always advertise at LA at. Oh, my God. I almost said LAX. I meant freaking LaGuardia or JFK. You know, when you drive by JFK and there's a banner that's like visit the Mob Museum and it's like the who, what, where museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, apparently this was held there. The birthday cake comes out on, I have to do promo because she deserves it. The birthday cake comes out on theaters and on VOD June 18th.
I want to know more about the dog attack. We don't really know much about the dog attack at this point, but we do know what happened right before. She said she was at the ER 30 minutes before she went to the red carpet.
Is this the daughter that got mad at him for treating her mother badly, like being rude to her mother? Yeah. Okay.
So her mother is a production designer named, I just wrote her name down somewhere. Her mother, Eve Mavrakis.
Right. Didn't she call his new girlfriend trash?
Trash.
At some point?
She called his new girlfriend, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, a piece of trash, and then she took it back. So I love
these
back-to-back
headlines.
She's not
even new, honestly. Now she's kind of his older girlfriend, which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
July 13, 2018, Ewan McGregor's daughter calls his girlfriend, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, a, quote, piece of trash. Claire McGregor visited a Winstead fan account to leave a savage comment, this is Us Weekly, on a photo of the actress on Monday, July 9th. I know we talked about this at the time. After fans filed the comment sections with praise, the 22-year-old replied, most beautiful and talented woman on earth? ? Adding laugh cry emojis. Oh man, y'all are delusional. This girl is a piece of trash. Smiley face X. And then we have 1 month later, Ewan McGregor's daughter says she was, quote, angry and upset when she called his girlfriend, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, quote, trash. And so she explained that she apologized. She didn't want to do that. She said it wasn't my finest moment. Okay, then the next year, there was this in 2019. Ewan McGregor's daughter slams him for being a, quote, asshole who left her mom. And then days later, Ewan McGregor's daughter says she wasn't calling him a, quote, asshole in Instagram comment.
I think all these things can be true. She's like, definitely, like, my dad has been an asshole, and, you know, but also I'm trying to have a relationship with him.
Exactly.
It is weird when, like, your dad leaves your mom for, like, a younger actress, but then years later they're, like, still together. Like, it wasn't, you know, like, at the time it was, like, this passionate, rushed, fucked up decision, but then somehow, like, it's a stable relationship as well, and you have to, like, either
you're like, well, she's my mom now.
Right.
Well, oops.
Right. Like, well, she's around now. And now you're starring in a, you know, VOD movie. Well, to be
with your dad
and VOD, you're starring with your dad in a movie, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I like about this story. Like, since we talked about it back then, 3 years ago, it's been sort of nice to watch it evolve. Yes, it's funny that she was mad that her dad is a dick because her dad seems like a dick. And yes, she was mad that this new woman comes into her life whenever she thought that her parents had a good relationship. Whatever. Of course, who wouldn't be mad when you're like 20, especially when you're 21? But like, it really does seem like they've gotten over this fully because they have a relationship now. They're photographed together. They're clearly making things work and they're working together. So like, she's in a movie with her dad and Lorraine Bracco. Like, it seems like all of their wounds
Lorraine
have been
Bracco.
Mended.
Her dad and Lorraine Bracco?
Her dad and Lorraine Bracco and Val Kilmer and William Fichtner.
Uh-huh.
And Ashley Benson.
Uh-huh.
And Nick Vallelonga.
Uh-huh.
And Louis Guzman.
I'm seeing it. The birthday cake? Okay.
Birthday cake. It's on VOD. Anyway, I'm very proud of this woman. Next call.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. So I was just scrolling through Instagram and I saw that Anastasia, you know, the singer from like 20 years ago at Anastasia Music, had some sort of injury and she posted her x-rays of her neck and it got me thinking, is posting your x-rays hooey behavior? Because I feel like a lot of who's do that and the them's don't. Okay, let me know, Leanne. Cuisine, crunch, crunch.
Is it hooey, Lindsay?
Extremely. I mean, Anastasia? Are we calling her Anastasia or Anastasia? I'm like,
I thought it was pronounced Anastasia. I thought that I was corrected once, but it may have just been like, I may have been corrected by like a rude gay person.
I don't think it's like Anastasia. She's from like Jersey. She's from Chicago.
All my life I've been waiting for you to bring a fairy tale my way.
The loud and lovely Anastasia got breast cancer just as she was achieving
this. It's like, you're giving this... I mean, I think it's respectful, but you're giving this, like, woman from Chicago the...
People from Chicago can be named Anastasia, okay?
In case you don't remember,
I know
Anastasia,
that I was corrected once, and they were like, it's Anastasia because I can hear the voice in my head.
Okay, well, that person...
was rude.
She was the original, like, Fergie. If you listen to her voice, it's, like, very Fergie.
Yeah.
And she had some big songs in the styling because she always had, like, abs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her that much. She was big in, like, 2008.
I think before that, Lindsay. Oh, I think well before that.
Known for her powerful mezzo-soprano voice and her small stature of 5'2". Oh my God, same. She has been dubbed, quote, the little lady with the big voice. She underwent corrective LASIK surgery in August 2005, although she frequently wears the glasses, for which she became noted when she first became famous. Okay, hold up. What glasses? Is she famous
Remember those, like,
for
tinted,
glasses?
She was famous for those tinted glasses. If you saw her with those... Yes!
No.
She had those little 2002 tinted glasses. You know, she loved those glasses.
What are you talking about?
They were, like, orange. I swear to God. Like, hold on.
Wait, Anastasia. You're so right. Oh, my God. You're so glasses. Right. If you search Anastasia glasses, it's, like, fucking insane.
See, I may have been wrong about the pronunciation of her name, but I was correct about her iconic orange sunglasses.
Wait, this would
Look at those
be,
iconic orange
this
sunglasses.
This is, like, on trend for today. This
yes.
This is, like, on trend today. Yeah, you're going to die when you hear how she fucked up her neck. You're
okay, I don't want to get there yet. I want to play one of her most famous song.
Okay.
Was I'm Out of Love.
I'm out of love.
There's something very Tatum O'Neal about her. It's like Tatum O'Neal went through a 2002 filter.
Okay, I can't. But, like, not Tatum O'Neal. Like, her singing is not.
No, her look. None of these, her look.
She looks like Tatum O'Neal.
She doesn't like Tatum O'Neal, right?
She kind of does.
The moment she stepped on stage, I was like, she's going to ask me to take off my shoes. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
What does her voice sound like? Her voice is.
I'm telling you, she's got a Fergie. Maybe her aesthetic was Fergie. Back then.
Yeah. The voice is kind of unique. I never called her the little lady with a big voice, but...
She's got a raspy... That looks like she's got a raspy lower voice, which I think was rare at the time. And is...
Yeah.
And, like, especially for, like, a pop singer. It's always... Mm-hmm. I feel like it's always rare when a pop singer has, like, a lower voice. It's always something that's noted, you know?
Yeah. Now you're back inside my house again. So anyway, what happened to her neck? Do I want to know what happened to her neck?
It's only funny because she fixed it.
Okay.
And I'm, like, so happy that she fixed her neck. But let me tell you what happened to her neck.
No.
You're going to lose your mind. Beginning of 2020, while touring in New Zealand, some of my band members decided to go paragliding. First of all, she put in the emoji for paragliding. It's like she made it cutesy. I said, why not? Shrug emoji. How hard could that be? I'm not afraid of heights. Thumbs up emoji. Well, let's just say there was no gliding or sailing, not to mention the part that probably whacked my neck worse was when my tandem partner, his selfie stick, proceeded to have a full-on photo shoot during this adventure, shouting, hey, mate, look to your right, look to your left, up here, down here. His selfie stick felt it was like a conductor of an orchestra. But after what felt like 2 minutes of hell, he asked me, are you okay? I said, nope. He descended me down as gentle as he could, yet I still had 2 sold-out festival shows to do before heading home. Thank God for good old-fashioned adrenaline. Kicked in and the gigs were so much fun. However, once home, it didn't take long for the real pain to kick in mid-February. I saw a doctor once again. Diagnosis was surgery. During this time in America, COVID was popping up all over, and I couldn't think of having surgery during all of this. Fast forward 2021, once I got vaccinated, I decided to have surgery. Gratefully, I was referred to a surgeon in California, Dr. Robert Bray, MD, aka Dr. Fix-It.
No.
I know.
Oh.
I know.
Like, her neck was bopping around during a paragliding experience, and then it was exacerbated by her friend making her pose. While her head was bopping around?
I think it was just bopping around and then made worse by performing on with like a fucked up neck. Like,
oh my God.
I know, but she's all better.
That's good.
There's a before and after
here. Surgery is amazing. Surgery is amazing.
Then she posted herself with that little collar, the little
the neck brace.
Neck brace that they give you. And she said, home healing. I'm glad she's doing well. I haven't really heard.
That's so scary.
I really haven't Googled her in a while. Please play this amazing clip of her singing acoustically from just May 13th of this year.
I ask of you, will you love me? If nothing else will rise, don't let me fall.
You know what's so annoying, Lindsay?
What?
Whenever we're just filming an episode, we're minding our own fucking business, and then I finish the episode and I've suddenly become a stan of two people, Clara McGregor and Anastasia.
Now you're like, I love Anastasia.
I have to go see her live.
Anastasia.
Anastasia's definitely going to play at like a Foxwoods casino, right? Like, I could go see Anastasia at a casino, right?
I'm just loving that this woman's image back at her when she was probably the most famous. Not going to say her peak because we peak every day. I'm just saying I love that this woman was essentially like a typical like pop star vibe, but she wore orange glasses too. That was what differentiated her, was her transparent orange glasses.
See, I'm telling you, I was right when I called them iconic.
They kind of are. They kind of are.
Hey guys, so it's like 1:30 in the morning and my sister sent me a tweet that said Vanessa Hudgens and Madison Beer are starting a skincare line together, and that was like random. She's like, LOL, what? But I feel like that makes complete sense. Like, that makes so much sense to me. I have not done any further research than this message that my sister sent me. So if you guys want to look into it and then share what you find, Vanessa Hudgens, Madison Beer, skincare line, it makes complete sense. Okay. Thanks. ScarJo Yummy Pop. Bye.
So Vanessa Hudgens and Madison Beer started a skincare line called No Beauty. What makes it weird and unique is not because it seems any better than any other celebrity skincare line, aka like pretty scammy. You have to give them your DNA that helps them choose which skincare products work better.
I mean, you have to. That's literally the shtick is that they look at your they found this doctor to pair with who, like, I guess has a system that looks at your DNA and gives you your skincare. I'm not giving my DNA to Vanessa Hudgens. Like, not in 2021. Are you kidding me?
We all know that Vanessa Hudgens has a cloning problem. So, like, what's going to happen if I give Vanessa Hudgens my DNA? Are there going to be more of me?
I just realized what you're referring to. I was like, what's her cloning problem?
Are there going to be more people popping up around the world?
Right, it's true. She's gonna the other princess you. What's her movie called?
Am I going to have a brother I never knew about in Belgravia? If I give Vanessa Hudgens my DNA?
What are her movies called? The
Princess Switch.
Princess Switch. Switched again. You're going to get Princess Switched.
Just like Vanessa Hudgens' track record with like weird DNA issues is not super strong. We're not talking about it enough.
We are not giving our DNA to Vanessa Hudgens for many reasons. I'm sorry. Like, I just do not. Like, this, who is starting these products with Vanessa Hudgens? Come on.
Well, they say on the website, nobeauty.com, as in K-N-O-W, no beauty, that they don't do anything with the DNA and that they don't sell it, that they'll delete all your data if you ask them to. But
liars.
Like, I'm sorry, like, I have liars. No evidence to prove this, but I have been conditioned to question statements like that throughout of my time on the internet. I don't believe that they're not doing something with that data.
You're going to send in your DNA. They're going to tell you, oh, you have hyperpigmentation issues and your third cousin is like a serial killer or something. It's going to be,
right.
You know, like, it's going to be one of those situations. Mm-hmm. Your DNA is going to be out there.
You have combination skin and you helped us catch a murderer in the Pacific Northwest. Yes.
If I'm giving my DNA, it's like 23andMe. You're going to tell me like what's wrong with me, what I got to do and how I got to fix it and who I'm related to and all that. I'm not giving my DNA just for some shticky like, oh, you tan easily. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Or you don't tan easily, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, Vanessa Hudgens, she is not the spokesperson that we need or want at this time, I think. She was literally just selling, remember we were talking about her selling cactus water? Remember cactus water?
Isn't it all water from like the California desert? And it's like, do you know what's happening in the California desert right now?
Have you heard that California needs its own water? You can't sell it. It's not a great idea to sell it, you know?
It's called Cali water. Cali water. No. Yeah.
I would feel awful drinking water from California.
I would feel so guilty importing water from California to drink in New York.
So you said Vanessa Hudgens and Massam Beer, they're like pretty far apart in age. Like
they're 10 years apart.
15 years or something. Yeah. And they met because Madison Beer is friends with Stella Hudgens, a.k.a. Vanessa Hudgens' sister.
Little sister. And this video that Bustle made is, I don't know why I watched the whole thing. I guess it's because it's my job. You watch it and they interact with each other as though they are not close friends. They don't really pretend to be close friends, but they pretend to be friendly, or they act like they are friendly and know each other very well, okay? There are parts in this video that I don't even think that Madison Beer knows what she's doing, but she references Vanessa Hudgens' age quietly, and one of them is, how did you meet? And it's like, Vanessa Hudgens picked up Stella from my house. And that's how I met. AKA, she was the older sister who did the errands. And then there's this. They ask, what is the other's skincare philosophy?
Oh, man.
I know Madison's approach to skincare is simple, easy, and like direct to the point. She wants to get it done and not have like a ton of steps.
I know she uses everything. You have 30 steps in your skincare
routine. I have
routine.
So many steps.
But I love that. That's like, if I had the patience for myself, I would do that. Yeah, I'm definitely more minimalist. She's more maximalist.
I mean,
AKA I'm 22 and she's 32.
What I was going to say, is that not me in my 20s versus me in my 30s?
And then
you
there's this. What's the most exciting thing about working with each other?
I think I'm really excited to work with Vanessa because she's someone who has so much experience.
She's someone who has so much experience.
Like in life, like in she's life. Elderly.
And then Vanessa says this.
I'm excited to work with Madison all the time so I can just stare at her face. Oh, she's so ridiculously beautiful. I always see her and I'm just like captivated.
It's fully Death Becomes Her reboot. Like what's going on? I love staring at her
Vanessa
face.
Do you think Vanessa Hudgens is going to steal Madison Beer's DNA via this like roundabout way and then like, you know, kind of generate her face to put on her face?
This is so dark.
Yeah. Wait, which one is Susan and which one is Meryl? Who else is in that movie? What's the Death Becomes Her? What's the Death Becomes Her metaphor here?
Well, no, it's that Madison Beer is Isabella Rossellini and Vanessa Hudgens is Meryl.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. It doesn't quite make sense, but it makes some sense. It makes a little bit of
sense. Death Becomes Her is like a much better movie in like clips than it is actually as a movie to watch. I've realized
we talk about this all the time. Death Becomes Her is
like not a great movie.
Not a great movie to watch all the way through, but it's a great movie to remember.
And it's a great movie to like see photos of. You know, like it has great moments, but it's not really as good of a narrative as you remember it.
No.
Just like this skincare product, which I'll never think about again.
No.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I would really like you to talk about Sha'Carri Richardson. Because she makes me extremely emotional, and I want you to do this queen justice, and I trust you with the task. Okay. Living La Vida laptop. Bye.
No one's faster at turning who's into thems than the Olympics, even if they're seasonal.
I also just love the Olympic. I love the Olympics. And you kind of don't know. I mean, I was Googling around and I was, you know, searching the athletes to watch, up and coming Olympic athletes. Like, who is going to be like the big story of the Olympics, right? Like, you kind of don't know who the breakout's going to be until they officially break out. But I was like kind of Googling around and seeing what people were saying, who was promising. But we already kind of have an Olympics breakout, even though the Olympics haven't even started yet. And it's Sha'Carri Richardson, who is literally like the fastest woman in the country currently.
She's so fat. Like the 10-second sprint, when I watched it, it actually is the sort of thing that will make you scream, holy shit, out loud multiple times because she's so fucking fast. And
she's so fast.
It is so cool. And I think a thing about the Olympics that is so fun, this sort of who, is that it's fully talent first, So it's like we talk about Who's all the time, and it's like, well, why are they famous? Well, their dad's well, they released a skincare line with Vanessa Hudgens. Well, they have a show on Disney Channel that I don't watch. It's like, why is Sha'Carri Richardson famous? Oh, because she's really the fastest person in the country. And so it's like, it's so easy to describe these people.
What's cool about her sport and her is that sometimes when you are playing a sport, you can't show off your personal style and mm-hmm. vibes because of the restrictions of the sport and the uniform and what you're playing and what you're doing. But in running, you can wear kind of whatever you want. You can hair can be whatever you want. You can have as long nails. You can do, we can wear jewelry. You could do whatever you mm-hmm. wanted because it's like all about, you know, how fast you run. Like if that makes you run faster, it makes you run faster or whatever. Yeah, the only thing you can't do is be on steroids. And like exactly. she is so original. And people, I guess, kind of, there was like a backlash to it, which of course there was, but I'm sure it was, you know, small and whatever. But she was like, guys, don't you remember FloJo? Like FloJo right. was fucking a style icon. And so it's really cool because like, she's kind of like hearkening back to paying homage to FloJo in like multiple ways, mm-hmm. which is so cool.
You can become the them for just the talent, right? But then the icing on the cake is when you have the personality too. And it reminds me of, I know it's winter and not summer, but every Olympics there's someone like this. It's like very Adam Rippon, where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, not only is he great at skating, he on camera, what a talent, like what a personality, right? Like great to talk to, gives great camera, right? Gives great interview. Sha'Carri gives great interview.
Well, also, speaking of Pride Month, she's bisexual. She's bisexual, part of the LGBTQ plus community.
She's allegedly bi. She thanked her girlfriend, but it's unclear whether she meant like, oh, my girlfriend or my girlfriend.
No, I'm pretty sure she meant my girlfriend.
But she also tweeted about Pride. She tweeted some rainbows. People seem to think that she
tweeted
is
a rainbow during Pride Month. I think she's part of the LGBTQ plus community. Like whether she's bisexual or gay or whatever it is, like she's definitely out here being like gay pride, you know?
Truly. So that's why I don't want to label it. But what she had told USA Today was people were talking about her hair because she has like her hair color changes a lot. And she's like, I love changing my hair color because it represents my mood. And she said, my girlfriend actually picked my color. She said it spoke to her, the fact that it was just so loud and vibrant. And that's who I am.
Who are we talking about last week, who was like, I have no labels. I'm just part of the LGBTQ plus community. Who said that?
Oh, Lucas had just said that. Yeah.
Anyways, that's not the point. The point is that she's the fastest woman ever.
And yeah, let's just call her the fastest woman ever. She's so fast, y'all. You have to watch her
so
run.
She's so fast. She's the fastest woman I've ever seen run.
She just like starts passing the other people on the track. And you're like, how are you doing this?
She's amazing. She's also from Dallas.
She's from Dallas.
She's a hometown girl.
Here she is talking with NBC Sports.
But what do you want the world to know about what you just did in the semifinal run?
I just want the world to know that I'm that girl that every time I step on the track, I'm going to try to do what it is that me, my coach, my support team believe I can do, and the talent that God blessed me to have to do every time I step on the track. I'm never going to take an opportunity to perform for Jay in vain.
I'm never going to take an opportunity to perform in vain.
Can I say something a little rude?
Yes.
I understand why they interview them right after they're done running, but can you give her like a fucking 10-minute break to catch her breath before you make her talk?
No, because it makes good clip.
It's unbelievably rude to make this girl huff and puff through your interview. She just ran. She's the fastest woman in the world, and she just ran like fucking lightning. And you're like, girly, tell me why you're great. And she has to be like, well, she's like trying to say these inspiring things, and she can barely catch her breath. Of course she can't catch her breath. She's exhausted.
I was looking up old YouTube videos of her, and I guess she was like kind of iconic locally at her Dallas
school. Her Instagram goes from like normal girl to like Olympian so fast.
In no time. In no time. Because she was like,
transfers quick. Like all of a sudden Nike's there. All of a sudden Nike's involved, you know?
Exactly.
There's some other Olympian names that have been floating around as people to quote unquote watch. I chose a few that I wanted to just mm-hmm. say, like in case you're like me and you're like, oh, who do I pay attention to? I tend to pick the people who are in sports that are new. Weird.
Yeah.
No, like not weird, just like new to the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Like that are, you know, I mean, I think there's this year's like surfing is happening. It says mm-hmm. Olympic debut. I think that doesn't mean Olympic debut in Olympics. I think it means debut at this specific beach. It says as surfing makes its Olympic debut at Shida Sita Beach. Actually, maybe that does mean Olympic debut.
I think so.
So surfing is Olympics now. And there's this woman named Carissa Moore, who is a 28-year-old from Honolulu, who is a favorite.
It's the first year that the Olympics have ever done surfing. Yeah.
Okay. So that's right. Okay. Sorry. I wasn't sure if I was misreading that, but yes. Here's another one. There is skateboarding is in the Olympics now, which is so cool and has the potential to, like, really, I think, bring skateboarding back in a way. Like, yeah. I guess I know, like, there's that show Betty, there's Skate Kitchen. There's, like, a lot of, like, girl skating that I feel like is relatively new and buzzy, but I feel like having it at the Olympics and having a superstar maybe emerge could be amazing, like a Tony Hawk. We're like, I'm done with Tony Hawk, you know, like I think he's cool or whatever, but like we need to move on. We need new skaters, right?
Yeah. Who is this person?
Nyjah Houston, who is the world's most famous skateboarder, quote, over the past decade. I mean, it says that he is like a champion and like really highly paid, because I think even though skateboarding is not in the Olympics, you still can get incredible sponsorships by being a pro skateboarder.
Oh, yeah.
Because he, like, won all the X Games, essentially, for the past, like, 100 years.
Yeah.
There's also a runner named Noah Lyles that's being buzzed about, and a swimmer named Simone Manuel who has been buzzed about, and also another new sport called sport climbing, which I am not even sure what that is. It's, like, bouldering. Anyways, there is a woman who is named Janja Garnbret from Slovenia, who's apparently the favorite of sport climbing. I'm just like, I'm so down to watch these new sports and see like what
watch,
the deal
yeah.
is. Like, how do you even judge skateboarding? I'm so excited to see that, you know?
I mean, play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and then you see how those points rack up. Like, true. I don't get
it's
it.
It's true. It's true. It's like 180 Goofy or whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember from playing that, and also playing the snowboarding game. Do you remember that game?
SSX?
Yeah. Anyways, these are some names, but I feel like aside from Sha'Carri being like a breakout star, it's you need to wait until the Olympics start to see like who comes out. I mean, obviously, and then you have like the ones that are already thems, like Simone Biles, right? Like those names are coming
exactly.
up as well too, because it's like, oh, Simone Biles is competing again, and like everybody will watch Simone Biles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I fucking love the Olympics. I know it's kind of weird this year because of COVID, but I'm just so excited.
Let's play Who Are Them quickly. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour's over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use, because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. It's summer and it's hot. And somebody just said Pinkberry. And so is Pinkberry a who or a them? Is Froyo a who or a them? Froyo was a clue in the New York Times the other week. It was at the crossword. What are the who's and them's of the Froyo world? There's so many. Okay, crunch, crunch.
I love when a call like spirals. It's like Pinkberry. Wait, Froyo. Wait, who's and them's of Froyo? Pinkberry fell off. It fell off, I'm just saying.
Oh, I agree. But what's your word association? If we were at some sort of like, you know, a therapist's office or whatever, and I showed you the word Pinkberry and I made you say a word or a phrase, what would you say? Pinkberry.
I'd be like diet culture. I don't know.
I would have said the hills.
Wow. We're
Pinkberry, the hills.
Minus diet culture. No, I mean, I think Pinkberry is good, but it just reminds me of when there was like a Pinkberry on every block in New York for a while. Like,
and
there
went
was,
away.
There was a time where it was ubiquitous, you know? And what was funny about Pinkberry is that Pinkberry itself was like relatively... You would get something that was relatively healthy, but every Pinkberry knockoff would be like, get frozen yogurt and then Lindsay come in and put like 12 pounds, like $25 worth of toppings on this thing and be like, yum, yum, Froyo. It's It's like if you put 14 Kit Kat bars on a froyo, it's like it kind of defeats the purpose. You might as well just eat ice cream, which I do. But like, it's
right.
It's funny thinking about me in college being like, yum, yum, 12 handles. Like, here's like 25 gummy bears.
Yeah, I'm going to pull all 16 of these handles, baby.
Right. Like,
I got to taste it. I got to taste this one. I got to taste all 16 handles before I choose original tart and cover it in Reese's, you know, like
spending hours like stoned trying all of the flavors before ordering right original tart with like 14 Reese's on it. Getting a froyo and paying $15 by accident for it is like demoralizing, though. I will not miss that trend, you know, because that shit was by weight and it was stressful.
I'm dying at the Pinkberry Wikipedia. Listen to branding and placement, okay? First of all, the Hills isn't mentioned once in branding and placement. The Pinkberry brand has been designed and managed by LA-based
branding.
They're
beyond that image.
Pinkberry has been featured in an episode of HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm, mentioned in the Comedy Central cartoon Ugly Americans, and a few scenes in the 2014 film Still Alice.
Wait, which freak is doing a
word association with Pinkberry?
Wait.
Never watching that
Pinkberry,
movie?
Pinkberry itself associates itself with Still Alice, or is that on the Wikipedia?
On the Wikipedia, it's like basically the section that's like Pinkberry and pop culture, and it's like it's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm, a Comedy Central cartoon called Ugly Americans, and a few scenes in Still Alice. I've never seen Still Alice. Is Julianne Moore like, let's go to Pinkberry, and then 5 minutes later, let's go to Pinkberry, and they're like, Julianne Moore, we already went to Pinkberry. Like, I haven't seen it, and I'll never watch it because I shouldn't be making jokes because that is my biggest fear and nightmare, but like, oh my God, why is Still Alice here?
We have to joke or else we'll be depressed. Let me read you this reference to Pink. She has only a minor and highly normative amount of family discord. She could pass for 10 years younger than her chronological age, and she lives inside an Upper West Side bubble of the Hudson River light, fresh vegetables, and really good wine. It's unclear who does the dishes and the laundry in her house, but they are invisible. Alice has a standing order at Pinkberry, the natural yogurt with blueberries and shredded coconut. So I guess Pinkberry is like a major plot point in Still Alice.
I guess. I'll never know. Well, I guess now I know.
Because when she's no longer Alice, she forgets her Pinkberry order. Oh my God.
No, I hate this.
I'm sorry.
I hate this. Let's get Pinkberry soon.
Okay. Sounds great.
We got pierogies yesterday and that was fun. Oh,
I know.
It's like Lindsay and I go to lunch and we get pierogies and borscht.
When in Greenpoint, that feeling when you're in Greenpoint and you have to eat Polish food. We also got tattoos. Don't listen to this if you're my mom.
Me on Instagram, but me in reality, it's like, let's go get Pinkberry and get some nice flavors. And really, we get borscht or like tuna sandwiches. Okay.
Hi, Who Weekly. Is Jeff Probst a who or a them? Crunch, crunch.
Jeff Probst, host of Survivor. Who or a them? 1, 2, 3.
Them.
I think so, too.
I think this person called because Busy Phillips was on Las Culturistas recently and told a very nice story about Jeff Probst. Okay. I guess, like, Busy Phillips and Jeff Probst's kids know each other. And, like, they used to go on vacation together to some resort. And she told, like, a very nice story that was, like, Jeff Probst is so cool that when we were on vacation every single year, he did a Survivor for the children.
Isn't that so cute?
He did a Survivor for them. Anyways, I just thought that was very sweet.
It's funny to kind of compare him to Chris Harrison as like the good guy host who's been on TV for 100 years, like hosting the same show for 100 years. And like, we have yet to really hear anything terrible about this guy. And I feel like we would have by now. And like Chris Harrison sort of fucked up.
Exactly. And like Jeff Probst is like richer than God, and we definitely would have heard if he was some sort of asshole at this point. It would have trickled out of the many, 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 many people he comes into contact with, which I'm sure there are a few stories, but right, like Chris Harrison, like the minute, you know, the crack was showing, it was like, fuck this guy.
But you know, sometimes people get like so rich and so famous that they like something happens to their brain and they just end up like behaving really stupidly and like saying stupid things. Like that didn't happen to Jeff Probst. He's like taken his hundreds of millions of dollars and just like relaxed, like gone on vacation and like treated Busy Phillips's kids to a Survivor game. Right. Like, okay, cool.
Right. Hi, can you name from Who to Them, Justin B. Smith, Michael B. Jordan, and Junie B. Jones? Thank you.
We already ranked this. I feel like we already ranked this. Because we already, there's only three of them, and we already said that Michael B. Jordan is obviously more of a them than Justin B. Smith.
But what about Junie B. Jones?
I don't freaking know who that woman is.
She's a girl.
Okay, well, I don't even know her. But as I said, you can't just throw B in there. Michael B. Jordan is the only B we recognize.
So we go Junie B. Jones, biggest two, Justin B. Smith, who is the billionaire that...
Dating Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman, right. Uma Thurman. And then Michael B. Jordan, themiest.
Yeah.
Okay, that's easy. That
Are
was
these
very
the only
easy.
Bees? I feel like there's more, but okay, fine.
June B. Squibb? I'm kidding. Okay, I don't know why that came to me. Okay.
It should be like people with names. If the B is only utilized if you have a name that's a popular name, you know? Like how...
Wait! Courtney B. Vance.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that's huge.
Courtney B. Vance over Michael B. Jordan, I would say.
No.
No?
I think just under. But way over Justin B. Smith.
So Michael B. Jordan, Courtney B. Vance, Justin B. Smith, Junie B. Jones.
Yeah.
Does Jennifer Love Hewitt know she is a who? Crunch, crunch.
I was watching a show that I watch. That's a little embarrassing.
What show do you watch that's a little embarrassing?
There was an episode of Lego Masters a couple of weeks ago where they had to build skyscrapers that could withstand like a shaky tower, where they had to build like a big Lego skyscraper that was at least 4 feet tall, and they put it on like a shaky thing, and then Will Arnett like turned the thing to make it shake, and whatever one lasted longest like was in the running towards becoming America's next top Lego master. And they did this bit because it's a POC show. So when he was showing how the thing worked by like pretending that it's an earthquake, this happened.
911, what's your emergency?
Stop. Wait, it's not a crossover with 911.
There's been an earthquake.
I'm not seeing any seismic activity in the area. Are you sure it was a quake?
So literally, it's a crossover event between Lego Masters and 911. That's very much like who gets the most bang for their buck from that one. You know, like that's confusing.
But there's no buck being spent here because it's cross promotional. Like it's just another Fox property. Like I don't think they had to spend any money to get Jennifer Love Hewitt on the horn to like film an extra thing. I think it was like in her contract. It's like, Jennifer Love Hewitt, you have to spend 5 minutes doing this. And I think the question is, does Jennifer Love Hewitt know she's a who? First of all, she doesn't know what the who them binary is.
Yeah, she's not really I don't think she has any instinct or even a bit of knowledge about whether what a who or a them,
right,
is.
But if your question is actually, does she think that she's more famous than she is, or does she think she's more prestigious than she is, I think the answer might be no. I think that Jennifer Love Hewitt is very aware of her place in culture, you know?
Right.
I think that she has existed long enough in the world of celebrity in Hollywood to see her career like ebb and flow, have her highs, have her lows.
No, I think she would like very much go on a rant about like being quote unquote washed up.
Yeah.
Like she would. I think anyone who has a career where they were a younger actor first, mm-hmm. and then had to age from like a teen to an adult in this industry,
yeah.
has like the kind of standard boilerplate, but still very kind of specific like knowledge about what that feels like, and like
yeah.
you know, going from being recognized to unrecognizable or something,
yeah.
and that's really, I mean, that's kind of who them ish, but a little bit less, a small piece of it.
Yeah, I think that there are plenty of actors in Hollywood who have like a weird perception of their own impact, but I don't think Jennifer Love Hewitt is one of those people.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Who Weekly. Keep calling in at 6190. Oh, nope. Keep calling in at 619 who them to leave questions, comments,
almost
and
did
concerns.
Did you almost do the Patreon number?
I almost
number?
Did the Patreon number. Oops, oops, oops.
Oh my
Y'all
God.
Y'all aren't allowed no, to
you
know
gotta, You gotta pay extra to know the Patreon number.
Oh, you can subscribe to our Patreon. We give you twice weekly bonus episodes. What else? Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Please, we love it. Thank you to Katie and Eric the Hoos for providing the Rita theme song. And that's it. We'll see you Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
We all know that Vanessa Hudgens has a cloning problem.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I just had to pause the pod because you were talking about all of the Pretty Little Liars and their babies. And you were talking about how Lucy Hale's babies are all of her pilots. And there's a reason that her babies are her pilots and not actual babies. And it's because of Kylina, the intrauterine device that Lucy Hale is the spokeswoman for. She doesn't have time for babies. She's just too busy working. And I just thought I needed to share that with you. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Long time. Just some useless knowledge for y'all. Barrel makers are called coopers. What they do is super impressive. I didn't realize that they were still being, that barrels were still being made by people, so that's really cool. But, back in olden times, I guess, people's last names would just be given to them based on their profession. And so, like, if you meet anyone with the last name Cooper, they probably had an ancestor who made barrels. And that's why you see people whose last name is, like, carpenter, shoemaker, priest, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, any Cooper you know is descended from a barrel maker. Good form, Bellthorne, ScarJo, Yummy Pop. Bye.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is Kate from Minneapolis, first-time caller. And I had to stop the pod when you brought up barrel making. I know nothing about the craft of barrel making, but I do know that a person trained to make wooden barrels is called a Cooper. So maybe Bradley Cooper comes from a rich tradition of family barrel making. So good barrel, Bradley Cooper. Good form, Bella Thorne.
It's a triple entendre because air cannon. Zillion air cannon.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. I had to pause the podcast just to say that in high school, I worked in a video store in New Jersey, and Bon Jovi and his kids would come in, and their account was absolutely under Bon Jovi. So they all used their authentic last name. Also fun, the other people who would come to this tiny video store, which was independently owned, were Bruce's kids and Sebastian Bach pre-Gilmore Girls. He would ride his 10-speed wearing sweatpants to the video store, and I would help him choose films. Got a lot of.
The White Noise Machine is queer.